Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Do you realize how important it is for somebody to speak the words of God over you? Do you realize that? Do you realize that it's those words that will infect your soul? They will cause things to happen within you if you'll take heed to them. So know that God is doing a great work in your life. Know that God has a purpose and a plan for you, that He is directing and orchestrating everything in your life. He knows where you're at. Just as Rebecca said, you know what? Isn't it crazy? Them Jesus freaks. What do you think of them? Come on, man. I'm a Jesus freak. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I always wanted to say something to you about Jesus. Isn't that crazy? What kind of people are they? They're a strange folk. Where's Pat? There's a strange folk, ain't they, brother? A strange folk. Always wanting to say something about Jesus over you, man. Come on. You know, you're in better shape than you've ever been. How do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that you are better today than you've ever been? Hallelujah. And it's not going backwards. Sometimes we have a tendency because we're getting older, it's going backwards on. It's not going backwards. It's getting better, better, better. God is bringing more to you. He's getting ready to open things up to you like you've never seen before. Why? Because we've been praying for it. We've been believing for it. We've been asking God, God, you got to show them. God, you got to reveal yourself to them. Open the gifts that are within your people. Open them, Lord. Open them wide. Hallelujah. Those that don't know, some of you don't even know you got a gift. I'm going to tell you something. You do. And God's getting ready to touch that thing within you. And you're going to find yourself in a position that you never thought you'd be. You're going to find yourself in a place that you never thought you'd be. Because God has a job that He has for all of us. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to touch the world. How many know that? We've got to touch the world. Lord, help us touch the world. How many know the world hates us? Do you know that? You know, man, I don't want to think about that. I'm going to tell you, they don't like us. They're not friendly to us. But I'm going to tell you something. They need us. We are their connection to God. And that's why we have to be prepared to do whatever it takes to win the lost. How many of you say, yeah, amen to that? I will do what it takes to win the lost at any cost. Lord, I will lay down my life to win the lost. Is that all right? Are you positioned there yet? I will lay down my life to win the lost. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Ooh, man, I'm going to tell you something. God is doing great things. Hallelujah. It's great to be at this time in history. It's a great day to be in. Hallelujah. You are called by the kingdom. God, the king has placed your name on his lips and said, I'm calling you forth to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. You got to know that. You got to realize, you got to understand that God is not messing around when he's saying, draw near. Just like sister said, draw near, draw near. That's the Lord saying, draw near, get close, because as closer you get, the closer you get. How many of you ever tried to hear somebody that's whispering? You got to get close. Is that right? Is that right, Howard? You got to get in close. What you say, brother? Is that? You want to get in close, and that's what God's trying to. Because how many of you know we are positioned with Christ? We are seated at the right hand of. The Lord says, "I positioned you with me, so you can hear the things that God has for you." That's all it is. It's really simple. Hallelujah. Sometimes we make it too hard and complicated on ourselves. How many of you know that? Come on. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. Who He is in your life, who He is in my life. Hallelujah. It's going to be a little bit different today. When I was doing the services, when I was preparing for the service last night, it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, describe my job to them. Describe my job. Oh, God, you know, the Holy Spirit has a job, and His job is to transform us from our old person into our new person. That's His job. And, you know, the more that we yield to that, the more you'll see the kingdom of God operating in your life. For me, I would say, man, Lord, you got man, you got your work cut out for you without with me. I mean, but I'm going to tell you something. God, little by little, by little by little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, begins to work and cleanse and wash and push things out of your mind. Can I tell you that most of, a lot of times we are operating under a mindset that is an old style mindset, a mindset that we learned from whoever, whenever, and God is trying to say, hey, look, let your mind be renewed in the things of the kingdom. The things of the kingdom. Can I tell you that there are great things in the kingdom? Do you know that in the kingdom there's a tree of life? Do you guys know that? You know that you have access to that tree. That's right. You do. You got access to that tree. Jesus Christ has provided you access to the tree of life, who is He Himself is the tree of life. Can I tell you that? Can you accept that Jesus is the life that God is trying to get into you? Hallelujah. It's a great thing. Start taking notes, because I can sense the Holy Spirit really talking this morning. Start taking notes. Go home and look. Go ahead and go home and say, hey, man, I'm going to check this out. I think that guy's a crackpot. So do I sometimes. I say, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it because God is faithful to watch over His people, and you're here for a purpose. You really are. Glory to God. I don't know how to say it any. I'd like to say it stronger, but if I said it stronger, I'd be yelling it. You're here for a purpose, and know, if you'll yield to Him, if you'll allow Him to speak to you, man, all those little things that you've been concerned about, all the small things, everything that's been troubling you, all those little things, He says, I'll watch over you and I'll take care of them. I will fix them. I will take you to where you need to be. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. Be patient. Talked about patience last week. You guys like patience? Be patient. Ask for patience. Ask Him for it, because it's what brings the promises to you. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you guys so much, man. Hallelujah. I'm loving it. I'm loving this worship team. Praise God. Glory to God. Hey, I'm hoping to see every one of you at my house on next Saturday. Having a sleepover? No, I'm saying. Yeah, come on, man. Thank you, brother. 10 o'clock Saturday morning. We're going to start having fun. Might be warm. Might have to break out the water hose and wet everybody down, which would be fun, huh? Yeah. Please, if you can, try to come. I think we're going to have a great time. I'm feeling like we're going to have a good time. Glory to God. Hey, there's that Social Security workshop. I'm told that there's a lot of different changes in Social Security. So if you get a chance, try to schedule some time for yourself to be here on Saturday the 12th at 4 o'clock. And allow this brother to, he's a brother up in Phoenix. He's coming down. What's that word? Pro bono? Does that mean free? Yeah. He's coming down pro bono. He says, man, I just want to share with God's people what Social Security. So, I mean, I think it's an opportunity. So if you get a chance, I mean, try to make put that in your calendar. Glory to God. Things coming up. The prom. I haven't been in a prom since. How long has that been, John? I don't remember the prom. I haven't been in a prom in a long time. Try to make the prom. It's, you know, it's proceeds going to the young people, children's church. Praise God. Folks, God's doing some great things. Glory to God. You're probably wondering what great things you think I was trying to remember where I put my Bible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, man. If you will, open your Bibles to you. It's going to be John chapter 20. I'm going to start with verses 19 and 20. Like I said, if you would, take some notes today, because I really believe the Holy Spirit is instructing. And I really feel the need. I felt the urgency to speak this message because, like I said earlier, sometimes we just get stuck in old mindsets. or mindsets that we've been taught, and there's an expectation we have on how things are supposed to be in the kingdom or in the church. And God is taking us from operating as a church, and which is a great thing, but also operating with a mindset of the kingdom of God. And in that mindset, there's so much healing. Is that right? Is that correct, sister? How he touched my eyes, is that right? And you passed your driver's license. Come on, man. Touched her eyes. And spoke. There is healing in the kingdom of God. There is provision in the kingdom of God. And God is desiring to show you just how much he's on your side. Is that okay? He wants you to know, hey, I'm really on your, the word of God said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He says, I really, really am for you. It might feel like something's going on and something's going wrong for me. It might feel that way, but it really isn't. It is something that God does to bring you to a position so that you can hear him. Is that okay? So that you can understand what's going on, and then you can see just how much he really is on your side. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to strengthen you. And a lot of times it feels weird. It does. It just feels, man, how is this helping, Lord? I was speaking with my young people one year, with the youth group that I was pastoring over, and was talking to them about how God uses things, hard things, to kind of train and teach his people. And I was speaking to a young man, and he was telling me, he goes, I don't get the scripture that says, you know, where the eagles are gathered together, there will the Lord be. And he goes, I don't get that scripture. He goes, because that's death. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And in that context, the Lord is talking about meeting in the air. But this young man was having such a trouble understanding that scripture. But praise God, I'm driving home in my Toyota pickup, and I'm trying to say, Lord, how am I going to explain this to Lucy? Yeah, and I mean, so how am I explain this to this young man? And hey, Lord, how can I word it? And it's funny, as I was getting close to my house, a deer ran out in front of me and smacked that thing, broke the headlight, tore the fender, some kind of plastic on the fender. I go, oh man. I said, Lord, I've been talking about how things, hard things sometimes are things God's trying to do. I said, how is this helping me? Is this helping me? My truck's busted, bent. What is that, Lord? So I get home, show the truck to my wife. The next morning, Sunday morning, we're heading out to church. I said, look at the truck. She goes, what happened? I hit a deer. Man, oh, man. I mean, the deer had run off, I thought. As we were going down the road, there was a deer. The deer had crawled off and was laying up against the fence. And I looked, I go, oh, there he is. Check him out. She goes, oh, yeah. And there was one vulture, or is it a vulture or a buzzard? There was one buzzard sitting on the fence right there looking at him. I go, he's going to, time to chow down. Went to church on the way home from the freeway. Going home, you could see a whole pack of buzzards floating around up there in the sky. And I'm looking at that, go, check it out, man. I wonder if that's that deer. Sure enough, when we got close to them getting to home, there was a column of birds, and those birds all over. That thing was just about plucked clean. It, man, all those birds were having a it was a barbecue, man. They're having a good time. And when somehow, it was almost like the Lord was saying to you, tell him that it's not on the ground where the carcass is. It's in the air. That's where I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you in the air. And when I told him that, it clicked with him. He goes, piece of cake. And that's just crazy. You know, that's what God did. I mean, I said, Lord, I really prefer that you don't use my truck to teach these things to kids, man. I said, but you know what? I'm willing. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, God, I'll do it. Is that okay? How many of you say, yeah, come on. Anything you, whatever God would like to do with you, and if it's involving somebody being ministered to, are you willing to do it? Are you willing? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Just be willing. If you're willing, and then the other part of that, if you be willing and, what's that word? Obedient. Thank you. So I don't like that word. What's that word, man? If you be willing and obedient, you will eat from the good of the land. Is that what the word of God says? God is a promiser. He makes promises. He's always going to be talking to you. He's always going to be helping you. Hallelujah. So we at John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. The title of the message this morning is What the World Needs Now. You guys remember that song? What the world, sing with me, needs now is love, sweet love, not for just for some, but for what? Everyone. Yeah. What the world needs now is love. Is that right? I'm going to tell you something. Was that Barbara Streisand?
No.
No? Was it? I don't know who that was anyway. I don't know who sang that song, but who was that?
Carpenter?
It might have been. Yeah, I don't know. Anybody know? Carpenter? There you go. Come on. All right. Now that we got that straight, it's cool. I'm going to tell you what the world needs now. The world, not so much that needs love, sweet love, which they do, but it needs the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is here for the world? Is that right? To transfer this planet we're on into what God has totally intended it to be in the first place. And we are a part of that. God uses people to help people. Is that right? So what the world needs now, guess what, is us. Is that right? And they need us. What the world needs, they need us now. That's the title of the sermon. So you might write that down because I think that might speak to you. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. The word of God says this, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be to you. And this is right after he'd been crucified, right after the resurrection, and Jesus just steps into the room. How many of you know that'd be an awkward moment? Is that right? I mean, I said, oh, wait a minute. And so the first thing he says is, peace be to you. I think they're going to need some of that. Is that right? Well, peace. Calm down. Peace be to you. And the next thing he says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And then this is what he says. He says, my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna breathe on you and then say, receive the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? That, you know, and it's funny why it says that he breathed on them. And I like what it's saying, because that's how God, when he formed man out of the dust, the Bible says that he breathed and man became a living soul. And it's that same breath that Jesus, when he spoke to them, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and spoke those words to them. That was something that they needed to hear. And I always also believe that is something that we can do. When you know that somebody's having problems or something, you can actually just walk in by and say, receive the Holy Ghost. They don't need to even hear you. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. You're breathing on them. You're speaking over them. And I believe there was a time where I think it was Peter and I'm not sure who was with him, but he was going headed into a city, and they knew that they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. And so what they did, they prayed that the Holy Spirit would baptize them as they went in, and they did. And the Holy Spirit was very faithful to them. So in the high-tech age we live in, there's some things that we need to do. We need to realize that when Jesus said, so send I you, and then he said, receive the Holy Spirit, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is a very, very, is probably the most important part of anything that we do in the world. How many of you guys agree with that? The Holy Spirit needs to be involved. If he's not involved, I'm going to tell you something, it's probably not going to work. Is that okay? That's why a lot of our ideas do not work, because they're our ideas. They're not fostered by the Holy Spirit. They're not brought in where God will say, this is what I want you to do. Hey, I got an idea. We try to do things our own way. Is that right? God is saying, it's time to do things his way. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. God wants to build us and strengthen us, but we've got to do it his way. We cannot afford to spend any more time trying to figure out things on our own where the Holy Spirit has been sent for us to know what to do. Not to guess, not to, I hope this works, but to know what to do. Hallelujah. I like the fact that on the 3rd, is that May 3rd, right? I like the fact May 3rd, there's National Day of Prayer. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. With you, I think every day should be a National Day of Prayer. That's just my feelings about it. Just be praying. Be praying for our nation. Be praying for Donald Trump. Be praying for him. There are... Lord, don't let me get started with Donald. There are people that hate him massively. It's a huge hatred. But you know what? God's got him. He is a leader that God has put in position. And he's our leader. Whether you agree with him or not, whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. The Word of God says that you must pray for him. If you belong to the kingdom of God, you're going to pray for those who are in leadership over you. And praise God. And I myself, I think he's doing a great job. He's getting people fired up. Isn't that right? That's time to get people fired up. It's tired, huh? Get fired up. Hallelujah. Yeah, and... So much for the political thing. People are looking at me, oh man, you can't be talking all that political. It's not political, man. This is my heart speaking. This is where I'm at. I believe in praying for the president. I prayed for President Obama. Amen. I did. I didn't believe in a lot of stuff he was saying, a lot of stuff he was doing. But I said, Lord, do something. He's our leader. Lord, help him. Help him, Lord. Help him. Hallelujah. Refused to talk about him. Refused to say a word that was contrary. I think that's who our position as Christians. How many believe that? Amen? Come on. I don't even know why we're talking. Why I even brought this up. But maybe there's somebody in here that needs what I just got through talking about. Yeah, we are in an advanced stage. How many believe that? I believe so advanced is our technology today that we're having. I mean... You can talk to almost anybody anywhere now. Just you can type things to them. Is that right? That's cool. You can send stuff. We're in an advanced stage. I believe the church is in an advanced stage. I believe that. I believe that we are, I mean, just as technology changes all the time, the Holy Spirit is doing things that are different. And he's trying to keep us updated and keep is that the word, updated? My phone goes into an update once in a while. I don't want to do it because every time I do it, it messes me up. I can't figure it out. But there's updates that God's always trying to do for the body of Christ. And sometimes we're just stuck in the back. We're stuck by the way we did it last year or the way we did it 20 years ago. Or you know what? I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. Hallelujah. You need to be updated if that's your mindset. I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. I had a friend who used to tell me that. Henry, I'm just an old sinner. I said, how long have you been serving the Lord? 44 years. I said, and you're still just an old sinner, brother? Come on, man. That's not what the Word of God says. It says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to start believing him sometime about some of those things. You need an update. Hallelujah. How many you say, I need an update? Anybody in here? I said, I need an update. I said, Lord, give me an update. I was talking to the leadership team this morning, and as the leaders, as we were praying this morning, I said, you know what? I'm going to say, we're so advanced. We've got what they call Facebook. Is that right? How many like Facebook? Don't put your hands up. Nah. Facebook, because because I don't want to get you mad, but it says some people spend more time in Facebook than keeping their face in God's book. And I'm going to tell you something, times have changed, because God is saying, look, I am saying things to you. I am speaking things to you. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying. You do. We all do. Every one of us do. Don't think that you're exempt. Well, my wife, I'll let her listen. Just keep me updated, babe. That's what was going on with me. She kept telling me, you're supposed to be a pastor. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Shut up. Oh, bloody. God gave me an update one morning. Praise God. And here I am. Yep, she was right. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are things in this high-tech Christian age that we need to be doing. It's going to be, here they are, you're going to wait on him. You're going to wait, high-tech waiting. Come on. Anybody say high-tech? I want to do some high-tech waiting. How is that? Well, I don't know. Get on your knees. I don't know. Lay on your bed. Lay under your bed. Pray in your car. Pray wherever you're at. Pray. High-tech waiting. Is that right? That don't sound too high-tech to me. I'm going to tell you, you can't get any higher than that. You can't. That's high-tech. He is the Most High. Can I say it to you that way? That's high-tech waiting. Hallelujah. High-tech praying. Yeah. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Some of you that haven't been baptized in the Spirit, ask God for it. Take a hold of it. It is something. Look at the Scriptures. The Scriptures will instruct you that this is for the body of Christ. Praying in the Spirit. Oh, well, I don't do that. Come on, man. I'm going to tell you, it's okay. You can stay where you want to be. But if you want to get to where God wants you to be, you need to go to the book and begin to look at it and see, God, show me what I need to do. Allow me to see what you're seeing in me. High-tech praying. High-tech obeying. Come on. Sometimes God will say something to you. He'll say something to you. How many of you believe that God is speaking? How many like to hear God speak? Yeah. How many have never heard God speaking to you? Anybody in here? I don't think I've ever heard God speak. I'm going to tell you something. He speaks all the time. He's always speaking. You just might not be noticing it. Ask him, Lord, make me sensitive to your voice, Lord. Because I believe that he's talking more than he's ever talked. He's saying more than he's ever. It's almost sometimes in my head when I'm doing something, I can hear him saying things. I say, okay, wait, Lord. I'm not writing this down, Lord. Be expecting God to be speaking to you. Operate that way. High-tech obedience. When he says something to you, do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that to you. Receive him. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. I want to read this to you just to throw this out there, because I believe it's very important, especially in the world today, because the more you talk about being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, there's going to be Christians, brothers and sisters, say, all right, you're one of those, then they'll do this, Spirit-led, or you're one of those born again, yes. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And then he says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And folks, I really believe that we're in a time where we need to be careful about our words, period. Is that okay? You just need to be careful about what you're saying, how you're choosing to say it. But it's very, very important for those that you love, for those that are around you, if they say something that sounds a little off color about the Holy Spirit, it's very important you just say, you know, it's okay. I mean, Be careful about what you're saying. It's okay to tell them that. Be careful about what you're saying. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't get offended. Is that right? Why would Jesus say something like this? Why would he even mention it? He says, hey, you can say anything about the Son of Man. He's talking about himself, and I'll forgive you. He says, but you be careful about what you say about the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit, he's invisible. Is that right? And it's words that we speak that are important, that we will be held accountable for. So I believe it's important. That word blasphemy, I looked up that word blasphemy. And the Greek word is blasphemo. And it means to vilify, to speak impiously, to defame, to revile, and to speak evil of. That's blasphemy. I wasn't too sure about impiously, that word. And that word means not showing respect or reverence. And I want to say this to you. The Holy Spirit needs to be shown respect. There are songs we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. There's another scripture that says, I lost it. It was a song I was going to sing. But when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's important that we're careful about what we're saying about the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? I'm just instructing you this morning, just placing it out there. Because the fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit is the gift that God has given you to advance in the kingdom. That's who he is. And so it's important that you have a respect for him. When he's in the house, you have a respect for him. I can sense him. I can sense the things that I'm saying right now coming from his voice, from his what he's saying to me. There's a respect that I have that sometimes I might not want to say what he's saying. I said, Lord, I'm going to say that. But yet the Holy Spirit will prompt and push for it to be said because of somebody in the house, somebody that needs a word, somebody that needs something. It's the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing. I got no idea what I'm doing. Is that okay? You guys okay with that? Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. So John chapter 1, verse 12. Now know this, it is the Holy Spirit that is going to cause you to change from the old man into what God has purposed and planned for your life. And I want you to look at this scripture. This scripture here is what the Holy Spirit called it. It's a growth scripture. It is a scripture that has order. How many know order is important? I was listening to something the other day that was saying order is very important. How many of you guys know order is important? It's important that the seed goes in the ground, something comes up and it grows, and then the leaf, and then the full corn in the leaf. That's order, is that right? It's important that we do things. Or in the message, the brother was saying, it's important that you pay tithes before you spend your money. Is that right? Because there's order, because God has said, every increase you get, you pay a tithe on it. Hallelujah. Everybody, smile if you when I talk about tithes. You guys can. You can talk and you can smile a little bit when I talk about smiles. Or you can look down. It's okay. Hallelujah. But that's order. How many know sex before marriage? Out of order. Is that right? Come on. Come on. All you young folks in the house, it's out of order. Doesn't work. Will not work. It destroys. Hallelujah. Because it's out of order. But this is a growth scripture. There's an order to it. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you see that? Number one, you have to receive Jesus Christ. When you receive him, then he says, then the word of God says, then he gives you power. That's the Holy Ghost. He says that you accept the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit is the one to create in you the image of the Son of God. Is that okay? Is that all right? How many of you know that is what God is desiring, that you would display the image of the Son of God, men and women alike? Praise God. That's cool, man. That is a growth scripture. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. Hallelujah. want to get into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a plan for you. And Jesus begins to speak to him. Right before he was crucified, Jesus began to speak all these things to his disciples. I'm glad somebody there was writing it down. Amen? Hallelujah. Note takers. It says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Hank, did we talk about this Wednesday? Yeah. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, now listen to this, whom the world cannot receive. You see that? The world can't receive this Spirit, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. And then there's also a promise on that. He dwells with you, and he shall be where? In you. He's trying to get his Spirit within you. That's what God wants to do. If you just yield to it, allow him to do it, hallelujah, he'll come in. And there is, folks, the scriptures display that there is an evidence of him coming in. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I felt that. It is. God will speak through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important to you. This is very important to you in your spiritual growth, because you don't know everything that you need. How many know that? The Word of God teaches us that you've got no idea the things that you need, but the Holy Spirit comes in you to speak through you, to pray for you according to the will of God, is what the Word of God says. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And when he's praying, he's doing something. It's cool. That's why the Old Testament calls this is the rest that the weary can rest in, because you can kick back, say, okay, God, spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit, just expecting God to do everything that whatever he said, do it. You know, remember when Mary said that? She told Jesus, they ran out of wine, and they said, whatever he said, do it. Is that right? Do you remember that? And that's what, you can pray in the Holy Ghost, and you can say, God, whatever he said, do it, Father. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe him. You got to believe in these things. You got to let your mind take a hold of the things of the kingdom of God. And this is very much a part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, whom the world cannot receive. Do you remember a time when you would not receive the things of God? Do you remember that? I remember a time when I would not receive it. People tell me, I say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. Leave me alone. Hey, well, tell me, Jesus, Lord, yeah. I know that. I'm a Catholic. I know it. It's all right. Would not receive it till one day. Hallelujah. Check it out. Next verse is this. Says, John chapter 16, verses 5 through 16. This is another growth scripture. And I believe verse 8 is a growth scripture if you're taking notes. It says this, but now I go my way to him that sent me. Jesus is telling his disciples, I go my way to him that sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you. Listen to what he says. But you cannot bear them now. I got a lot of stuff to tell you, but you can't take it right now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for you shall receive of mine, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. I want you to look at these scriptures. Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit and his work. There's three things that he describes that the Holy Spirit is going to do. Number one, he's going to convict the world of sin. Number two, he's going to speak to them about righteousness. And number three, he's going to talk about judgment. You remember in that last scripture that we read earlier that I said, pay attention, that it says that the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Remember that? And he said, whom the world cannot receive. And now he's saying, this is one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the work of the Holy Spirit, that he will convict the world of sin. So what is it, God? What is it? I mean, can the world receive him or not? Because over here you're saying the world can't receive him, and over here you're saying that he's going to convict the world of sin. So how does that work? And I want you to look at this. John chapter 6, verse 44 says this. This is Jesus speaking. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, the Holy Spirit, his job is to pull you in. We call it grace. I like to call it divine influence. By his grace, you are saved. He draws you. He pulls on you by grace. He pulls you in. Hallelujah. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The other scripture is this, is John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, Jesus is saying some pretty cool stuff. He says, no man can come to me, but the Father's got to draw him. And once he comes to me, I can show him the Father. Is that cool? How many want to see the Father? Hallelujah. How many of you are waiting to see the Father? I can't wait to see him. Hallelujah. Get your face in the book. Hallelujah. Facebook. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Three things that he said that the Holy Spirit would do. And this is so these are, we're going to go through these things. The Word of God says he will convict the world of sin. I'm going to look at John chapter 4. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you guys know that? The unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I know that maybe I might have been two of those folks in that list. Anybody see your ex title in there? Hallelujah. I was a drunkard. Huh. Hallelujah. I was a thief. I better shut up. Huh? All right, quit telling us about you. Hallelujah. But then he says this, and such were some of you. I like that. I've told you the story about my in my past where a friend of mine had told me. He says, "Hey, man," he goes, "you thought, you know, I used to see you doing all sorts of stuff at work, cussing, coming in hungover, stealing." He goes, "You were a little devil, but now you think you're an angel because I'd gotten born again." And man, I said, "Lord, give me a word. I want to cut him down, Lord. Lord, smoke him, Lord. Do something. Lord, hit him with a bolt of lightning with no clouds. Come on, Lord, you can do it." I wanted to hurt him. And the Lord, I said, "Give him a word. Give me a word to give him, Lord." And the Lord gave me a word, and it said, "The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." He gave it to me. It wasn't for him, it was for me. And I said, "No, man." So I got mad at God. Got mad at God, went home. It was a Wednesday. I got home. I said, I'm not going to church tonight. I'm not going. Laid down on the couch. And while I was laying on the couch, the phone rang. And when I sat up to get the phone, I heard these words, "As such were some of you." And I thought about that a little bit. And answered the phone. It was my pastor. He never calls me on Wednesday night. Never called me. She goes, Henry, you coming to church tonight? And I go, well, I just got telling God I wasn't going. I said, well. He goes, hey, I got to talk to you about something. I said, all right, I'll be there. Okay. Hung up. I said, oh, thanks a lot, God. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? And so I went and laid down again. Rosie wasn't home yet. Kind of fell asleep on the couch. When I woke up to Rosie honking the horn for me to come out and bring in the groceries. Anybody ever do that? Anyway, she's honking the horn, bring in the groceries. Right when I got up, I heard the words again, and such were some of you. And I got up and went outside, brought in the groceries, and I knew enough then. When I heard this a couple of times, I think the Lord might be saying something to me. So I looked it up, and this is a scripture he gave me. You were a drunkard, you were a thief. Yeah, that's true. But then it says that, and such were some of you. But then he says, but now you are washed. But now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I got all fired up. How many know that? Do you know that? I mean, I don't know how, what it was, but it was something that I needed so much that night because I was mad at God. And God, the Holy Spirit, can I tell you, he's my best friend? Can I tell you that? He's my friend. Because he knew where I was at. He knew what I was feeling. And he came, he says, hey, man, yeah, they're calling you you thought you were a little devil, but now, yeah, they'll go through all your sins. He says, but now you're washed, Henry. Now you're cleansed. Now you're, man, and I got so fired up. I said, yeah. Got to church that night, walked up to pastor. What'd you want to talk to me about? I don't remember. But, see, that was God, man. That was the Lord, man. I said, oh, come on, man. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, he was doing what he said he was going to do. He's going to convince me of sin, and he's also going to convince me of righteousness. The righteousness that he's talking to us about, look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, says this. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that cool? That's really cool. It's the great exchange, is that right? He took your sins and he gave you his righteousness. What a deal. Amen? Come on. That is a deal. That's a deal of a lifetime. You don't want to miss that deal. If you've never experienced that here tonight, I mean here this morning, if you never experienced this deal that God has offered to mankind, is that he takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:17 says this. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, which was Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, is that right? Shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Do you see that? It is the Holy Spirit that comes to you to convict you of sin. Once he's got you all, once he's got you convinced. I mean, it took him probably a month, maybe 2 months to convince me that I was not a sinner anymore, that things had changed. I said, what was ironic to me was when I gave my heart to the Lord, I spoke the sinner's prayer over a garbage can. And to me, it's a beautiful picture. That when I spoke those things, it's like God took the old Henry, tossed him in the trash. And when I walked out of there, I was a new man. Something had changed. I didn't know anything about it. I was a baby Christian. I had nothing. I had no idea what had just happened to me. But you see, the Holy Spirit is faithful to take care of you. He is faithful to watch over you. Can I say this once again, that this church, that we believe that we are... people that we're led by the Spirit, that the Spirit speaks to us. I want you to know this. God is so personal, so personal. He wants you to be hearing him, listening to him, walking with him, trusting him on your own with him, independently. Dependent on him. That's what we teach here. We are independently dependent on God. Not on my church, not on my best friend, not on my pastor. Independently dependent on God. When you're that way, then God speaks to you. He leads you. He guides you. He does things that you've never even experienced. And it's the most beautiful. It's the place where He wants to bring us to. So here He places His righteousness on you, gets you cleaned up. He says, "Get along, little fella. Listen for my Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Ghost and see what He's doing." So here's the process. He goes, removes sin from you. He places His righteousness upon you. And then the next thing it says in there, I'm going to take you back to that scripture. John 16, verses 5 through 16. You're going to see in there, He says this. The last thing that He does for you. This different place here. Okay, it's going to be around verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See that? Judgment. The Holy Spirit convinces you of sin, you get clean. Builds righteousness within you so that you know what's right. That's all it is, just knowing what's right. This last thing that he says he's going to talk to you about judgment because it's something that He wants to place within you through Him. Is that okay? Listen to that. How many know we're not supposed to judge? Anybody know that? Yeah? How many say, well, God's told us not to judge? Let's look at those scriptures just for a minute. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 says this. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So the Word of God says don't judge. Is that correct? But look what it says here. It says, and why beholdest the mote that is in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then thou shalt see clear to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Do you see what the Word of God is saying? There is a way of judgment. This is judgment going on in here. When you're casting the mote out of your brother's eye, the Word of God says you got to make sure you get the beam out of your own eye first. Is that right? See, judging the way the world judges is incorrect. But the Holy Spirit in your life, when He begins to say things to you, there is a judgment that's happening within you that comes from God. It is a judgment that speaks things to you, that says things to you, that will build people up and not tear them down. I mean, you know that. There's a way to judge. And we got to get into that. You got to know how to judge. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 7, verse 24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge a what? A what? A righteous judgment. Are you qualified to judge? You see, the righteousness that's in your life qualifies you to do these things. It's the only thing that does. You can't do it any other way. There's only one way to do it. It's a righteous judgment. That judgment has to come from the Father. That judgment has to come from the Holy Ghost. This is what He does. These are the things that He does in your life. This is, if you will, this is your discipleship program. It's in the Spirit. It is a spiritual discipleship program. And you got to get into it. You got to move into it. You got to allow God to take you into the things that He has for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I would love to be able to teach you everything about spiritual walk and spiritual judgment. I'd love to teach you that, but I can't put it in a book because I don't know the circumstances of your life. The spiritual things are learned because of the circumstances in your life. That's the way God teaches you. What you go through, He gives you scriptures, and that's what builds you because you're going through something. Do you get that? It's the hard times that you're going through that God places the most powerful things within you. It's those very hard times He says, I'm going to give this to you. And for me to sit down and try to teach it to you with a book, come on, that doesn't work that way. Not with the Holy Ghost. Because how many of you ever learned a lot of scripture or you've read a scripture 300 times And you know exactly what it says. You can just about say it backwards. And then when you go through, and then all of a sudden you're going through something hard, whatever it is. And that scripture all of a sudden just jumps out at you, and it teaches you something you had never seen before and ever before. That is discipleship. It's discipleship by the Holy Spirit. When God said, go and disciple all men, what did he say? Teaching them to observe everything that I've said, because the Holy Spirit is the one that will bring those things to them. You gotta invest in the Holy Ghost. Let him invest in you. You gotta take him for his word. You gotta say, God, speak to my heart. Lord, I need you, because my neighbor needs you. Folks, we can't be doing what we used to do. We just can't be in the same mode. There needs to be something different in our lives. Hallelujah. And the difference is the Holy Ghost. I love this. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. This is what the Word of God says. Old Testament. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Is that right? We don't need to be judging after what we see. We need to be judging a righteous judge by what we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. Hallelujah. That is what God is placing within you. The Holy Spirit that's within you is bringing you to that. He's trying to strengthen you in these things. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3, is it not? I didn't give you that, did I? Okay, I'm going to skip to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Are we supposed to be judging? Watch what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul is when he's teaching, this is what he says. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Because how many of you know that, like any man of God, he was stirring up trouble. Is that right? Everywhere he went, he stirred up trouble. Hallelujah. Do you know that because you're a man or a woman of God, people are not going to like you sometimes? We were at my sister's memorial yesterday, and it was at the American Legion, and there was a bar there, and there were some guys in there drinking, and we were waiting for them to get through, and I pulled the table over and put my Bible on the table, and while I was standing next to it, a gentleman walked up to me, and he told me, he's looking at my Bible, he looks at me and goes, we can't have any church services in here. And I looked at him, okay. So he looks at my Bible and he tells me again, we can't have any church services in here. And I don't know. I said, okay. Didn't say nothing back. Didn't want to cause any kind of trouble with this guy. I don't know who he was. He might have been just a customer, but I don't know who he was. Maybe he was just, a veteran that was in there drinking. But he said it to me the third time, and I looked down and said, okay, it's not a church service. And he looked like he got, I said, it's a memorial service. He just kind of looked at me and walked off. A little while later, I was reading out of the scriptures, and I just glanced over where he was at. He looked like a mad old owl, big eyes, and just, but that, praise God. It's okay. Amen? How many know it's okay? He don't know it, but he needs me. Is that right? He don't know it, but he needs me. So I can be okay with the way he's acting. But it matters not to me whether he judges me. Doesn't matter. I've already been judged. The Holy Ghost has told me who I am in Christ. Doesn't matter what you guys really actually think about me. It's okay. You don't like me, it's okay. I love you. I love all of you. But what matters is what the Holy Spirit says to you. Is that right? That's where you can be confident in. Here's the word. It says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. And then Paul says this, yea, I judge not my own self. You can't even judge yourself. Can you say, can I tell you that? You are not allowed to judge who you are. Not allowed. Do you know why? You belong to God. You're His property. You are His workmanship. What He's doing in your life, a lot of times you don't even know it's happening. You got no idea it's even coming towards you. That's what's so cool about it. So being that that's a fact, you belong to Him. You can't even judge yourself. And that's what the apostle said. I can't even judge myself. He says, for I know nothing by myself. Is that cool? I like that. I like where he says, I know nothing by myself. And listening to a word, and the brother was talking about how the seed is planted in the ground. The farmer plants the seed in the ground, and he sleeps night and day, and it brings forth the wheat or whatever. But he says, and he knoweth not how. You know what? That's a great position to be in with God. How many know what you're doing with God? Everyone know? You know what you're doing. Nobody, folks, it's a good place to be. I don't know. All I know is I'm reading the Word of God. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I believe things are happening. I believe I'm placing good seed in the ground. And it's growing, and I don't know how it's doing. That's what he's talking here. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. For I know nothing by myself. He says, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is what? The Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring the light and the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. Isn't that cool? He does the judging, the Holy Spirit. He says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait till He comes and speaks to you. Then you've got an answer of whatever it is that you're looking for. But before that, don't even try to judge it. Wait on Him and let Him bring that to you. And then when He brings it to you, then you got something that you can say. Is that okay? Folks, we've been having prayer meetings in this church, and there's been a lot of speaking going on, which is cool. Know this, that God is, he's developing your spirit to do just these kind of things so that you can go out there and go to the lost, and you can go to somebody and you can tell, hey, man, God saw what you were doing last night. Watch their eyes. Their eyes will go, what? Yeah, God saw what you were doing. And this is what he says, and you give them a word. I'll tell you what, those are the things that God is bringing us into if you'll believe it. If you'll accept it, it's the Holy Spirit that is trying to get these things to you. Cooperate with Him. I will say this one more time. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive Him, for He will take you to places you never thought you'd be. Can you stand up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Rabbo kasate. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know it's a lot. I hope you took notes. I hope you take a look at your notes. Hallelujah. Because I do believe that God is speaking to the house. I do believe that God is instructing and trying to get you positioned. Hallelujah. By His Spirit. Hallelujah. In just a few minutes, we're going to go eat potatoes. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You guys hungry? You guys hungry? Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning. Thank You for Your word, Lord. God, I thank You that You are doing a great and mighty work, Lord. The Lord is not by might, is not by power, but it's by Your Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, take Your people, Lord. Here we are, Lord. I'm asking You, Father God, that You would have Your way in our lives this week, today. Father God, today is the day of salvation. And this week, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would somehow, some way, touch the lost, Father. Speak to those that are without. Those, Father God, that are outside these doors, Lord, that need You, Lord. Those that are shut in, Lord. Lord, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to find them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to touch our city for Your kingdom and for Your glory, Lord Jesus. I thank You for it. I praise You for it, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand and...